John Wilson has just completed his latest From the Keyboard tutorial and manual. It's on the Microsoft Excel spreadsheet program and works well with Excel 97, 2000 and Excel XP. The tutorial has been written using a combination of Excel's own inbuilt shortcut keystrokes plus a good array of hotkeys specific to JAWS, HAL and Window Eyes. The tutorial has 47 main sections and is over 32,000 words long with a comprehensive appendix of Excel shortcuts. This tutorial covers all of the main beginner, much intermediate, and some advanced Excel spreadsheet skills. As usual, the tutorial is available as a plain text file, by email, or on floppy disk. It costs £15 by email or £17 on disk. The US dollar price is $28 by email and $35 on disk, including post and packaging. Those wishing to find out more information can contact John by email at jwjw@onetel.net.uk. That's jwjw@onetel.net.uk. Users of the latest version of Microsoft's popular MSN Messenger program are vulnerable to computer hackers, the company warned. The critical flaw in the internet-based program, which has millions of users, is the latest serious security flaw to be discovered in a program from the world's dominant software company. Microsoft said on Wednesday that hackers could exploit the vulnerability to run their own malicious code on a user's computer. Affected is a feature that allows users to gather in a single virtual location or chat room to exchange messages across the internet in near real time. The affected software includes Microsoft's MSN Chat Control, Microsoft MSN Messenger versions 4.5 and 4.6, and Microsoft Exchange Instant Messenger 4.5 and 4.6. Microsoft has been trying to make inroads into the market, which is dominated by AOL's Instant Messenger. The vulnerability was discovered as Microsoft undergoes an intensive company-wide campaign to stamp out security problems, an effort ordered by Chairman and Chief Software Architect Bill Gates. The Redmond, Washington-based software maker issued a critical security bulletin to users, advising them to upgrade by visiting an MSN chat site and downloading an upgraded new chat control, or by upgrading on the site to the latest version of MSN Messenger or Exchange Instant Messenger. The company said that, to its knowledge, no user had been hacked via the flaw. Microsoft Security Program Manager Christopher Budd said, though he cautioned users not to be complacent about downloading the upgrades. The chat control feature is not automatically included in Windows Messenger, which is installed with the XP version of Windows, Microsoft's flagship operating system. Budd said it is automatically included only in the two latest versions of MSN Messenger, which has some 46 million users. The first of those versions was released last October. And AOL Instant Messenger isn't out of the woods either. AOL Time Warner failed to properly fix a security hole in its AOL Instant Messenger application, leaving its users vulnerable to a new way to exploit the same flaw, according to a security researcher. The glitch's latest incarnation could have been just as dangerous as the previous versions publicized in January, opening the way for malicious AIM users to execute any program on a vulnerable user's computer, said Matt Conover, a hacker with a security research group known as W00W00. Last time, the error occurred in how the add game command handled the request from another user. This time it occurs when a malicious AIM user sends an overly long add external application command to another user. Known as a buffer overflow, the error allows an attacker to execute a program on the victim's computer. After being notified by W00W00, AOL Time Warner fixed the problem by again applying a filter towards instant messaging servers, said Conover. Because the fix can be done by AOL's own machines, the protection is immediate, he added. Several US lawmakers introduced a long-awaited privacy bill last Wednesday that would allow US businessmen to share information about customers who have not explicitly forbidden them to do so. More than a year in the making, the privacy bill unveiled in the House is different from a competing bill making its way through the Senate right now that would require businesses to get consumers' explicit permission before sharing private information, such as income level, religious affiliation, or political interests. U.S. Representative Cliff Stearns said the bill would instead leave companies free to share customer profiles unless customers specifically forbade them. The bill would cover transactions both on the internet and in the offline world and would override state laws that place more restrictions on commercial use of personal information. Sponsors said the bill would establish basic privacy protections for consumers while minimizing the impact on business. A federal judge last Wednesday denied a motion to dismiss criminal charges against a Russian software company accused of selling a product designed to break anti-copying technology. U.S. District Judge Ronald White said that the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, DMCA, doesn't violate Alcomsoft's due process and free speech rights. The decision clears the way for a trial in the closely watched case, believed to be the first criminal prosecution under the contentious law. Attorneys for the software maker had argued that the law is overly vague and undercuts copying that is legally protected under the fair use doctrines, among other things. Joining other courts upholding the law, White rejected those arguments in a 35-page decision. It says in part, and I quote, "Congress was concerned with promoting electronic commerce while protecting the rights of copyright owners, particularly in the digital age, where near-exact copies of protected works can be made at virtually no cost and distributed instantaneously on a worldwide basis," unquote. The DMCA has been at ground zero of the burgeoning clash over copyrighted material and the easy copying and distribution of books, songs, and music on the internet. Enacted in 1998, the law was a compromise between copyright owners and the telecommunications companies seeking freedom from liability over acts of online piracy. The Act includes provisions making it illegal to traffic in tools that crack encryption and other anti-copying controls. Those prohibitions have raised an outcry among software programmers who worry that the law could be used to bar legitimate research into encryption technology and other development efforts. Despite legal challenges, the courts have so far given the law a largely sympathetic hearing. Wednesday's decision follows a similar decision from a federal appeals court last year, barring web publisher Eric Colley from including hyperlinks on his site to a software program that can be used to crack DVD encryption. U.S. internet traffic grew at an annualized rate of 100% last year, but a new report says that the nation's telecommunications carriers continued to make less money for each megabyte of data they shuffle. Telecommunications analysts at RHK said this week that U.S. internet traffic has reached 100 petabytes. That's roughly 100 million gigabytes a month, which the company's Ryan Perspective report says is double the bandwidth sapped by all the nation's long-distance voice calls. But RHK said that while internet data volume was doubling in 2001, the revenue the telecoms derived from the pipes carrying that information grew by just 17%. In addition, RHK said the 100% expansion of data volume in 2001 represented a continued arcing of growth, tapering from 130% in 2000 and 160% in 1999. While almost all Europeans watch television, more than half don't own a computer, and only about a third of them regularly access the internet, according to results of a European Commission poll. The EC and Eurostat survey of 16,162 Europeans aged 15 and older found that just 35% of those interviewed surf the web. 98% of Europeans watch TV, and 46% read local or national newspapers at least 5 times per week, survey results said. While the net has some way to go before it overtakes more traditional forms of entertainment or information retrieval in Europe, it has become invaluable for those who do go online. 9% of Europeans surf the web every day, the study said. The most popular activities are email communications for work or among friends and family, followed by information research and work applications. The study found the internet was most popular in Scandinavia and the Netherlands. In Sweden, 67% of those interviewed use the net, making that nation the most wired in Europe. The survey also looked at Europeans' use of computers. As many as 53% of those surveyed said they do not use a PC, although over 20% said they use one every day. Illustrating the extremes when examining adoption in different European nations, the study said that 75% of those in Greece and Portugal do not use a computer. Two Microsoft executives on Monday brushed aside allegations from competitor Real Networks that Microsoft uses its Windows operating system to gain an unfair advantage among audio player programs. In early testimony in antitrust hearings involving Microsoft, Real Networks Vice President David Richards said Microsoft's Windows XP operating system favors Microsoft's media player over Real Networks products, sometimes over customer objections. Microsoft official Linda Everett said Real Networks' latest product, Real One, has fewer of the problems cited by Richards. Everett said some of the issues were due to bugs in Windows XP, but others were conscious design decisions by Microsoft aimed at making the program easier for consumers to use. Richards objected to the media bar in Microsoft's Internet Explorer version 6 web browser, which can appear if the user clicks on a music file on a web page. The media bar contains Microsoft's media player. The IE6 media bar is an integrated feature of IE6 that provides user value, Everett said. As such, it is not replaceable by third parties. Everett said it is possible, however, for Real Networks to create its own media bar. A new study from Jupiter Media Matrix indicates that the majority of online job seekers in the United States prefer to use just one career website. According to Jupiter, around 76% of the 13.5 million adult users who visited the top 10 standalone career websites in December 2001 logged onto just one site. Only 15% of online job seekers visited two career sites, while only 7% visited three or more. Among the top 10 career domains, the largest have the highest composition of exclusive users. Around 67% of visitors to the leading recruitment site, hotjobs.com, did not use a competing site. Approximately 58% of visitors to the second most popular recruitment site, monster.com, also didn't use any other website. The main visitors to online recruitment sites are those who work in the transportation, information systems and consulting industries. Hospitality, non-profit and publishing industries are the industries that are underrepresented on career websites. And finally, internet users who download songs for free from unauthorized computer file sharing services are much more likely to increase their music purchases than regular internet users, according to a report released last week. While file-sharing services like Kazaa and Morpheus enable anyone with an internet connection to access a huge library of music for free, experienced file-sharers are more likely to actually increase the amount of money that they spend on CDs, the report by research firm Jupiter Media Matrix said. 34% of all peer-to-peer users said they spent more money on music than before they used such services, the report said, while 15% said they spent less. One half said the amount of money they spent remained the same. Online music fans who did not use file-sharing services were less likely to report increased spending. 19% said they spent more money on music, while 10% said they spent less, and 71% said they spent the same amount. Other technologies, such as recordable CD drives and high-speed internet connections, had no impact on consumer spending, the report said. And that's News Briefs for this week.